Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I haven't looked around, but I assume that this must be one of the first shiurim commemorating 70 years of Medina Yisrael, being that it's right after Pesach. I'm sure it's not the first, one of the first. And as I was thinking about the shiur, I actually remembered a shiur from 30 years ago that my father gave. It was in the summertime at the Ramada Renaissance. And there we were commemorating 40 years of Medina Yisrael. And I remember he started his shiur with the words Ben Arboim Labina. Says that a person doesn't understand until 50 years, 40 years, I'm sorry. And now we can actually understand the path that Medina Yisrael must take. Now we're at 70 years, and I thought about Ben Shivim L'Seiva, that 70 years is for Seiva. I was looking in the Pirkei Avos Parakei, and I was looking at what does Seiva mean. Torah tells us, Seiva Tokum, when a person reaches 70 years, you have to stand up for him. And the Forshim point out that some of the Forshim in the Mishnah, why did Ben Shivim L'Seiva? To tell us when we should stand, when should we show respect for a person because of the age they've reached, we have to know that Seiva is acquired at 70 years. And if that's the case, when it comes to a human being, certainly for a state, of all the problems, we have to try to understand. There's so much there, of course, of why, or talk about why we should respect the state of Israel, which I certainly do. Now, I'm not going to speak about the immediate benefit that we all have from the state of Israel. I think it's clear. My mother, Rebbe Nella Soloveitchik, spent a few years here during the British Mandate, and the story she told me when she took her one trip to Jerusalem, and yes, she was on one of the buses that was actually attacked and shot at. And they said, for those who don't know, she told me that there are always two drivers on these buses, and in case one driver got shot, so the Jew sitting on the bus would not be a sitting duck, and her bus, and they were told before they got on, they started on the road to Jerusalem, if you hear shots, hit the floor. And yes, her bus was hit, and actually she saw someone in front of her got hit. She saw blood flowing down on the bus, and she was very nervous because her sister was in front of her, and she was so afraid she forgot her sister's name for those few seconds. So, you know, growing up with stories like this, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to appreciate how wonderful Medina Yisrael is with all the challenges. That in general, Jews know that we can live here in relative security. And I think the Jews all over the world know there's a place to flee to. So I'm not going to speak about that. We definitely should respect the state of Israel for that. I'm not going to speak about how to respect, how to celebrate. I think that how to celebrate the state of Israel is definitely a halachic issue. I remember in the first year of my shul, when the chazan did not say a bracha on Hallel, someone in my shul walked out, and I went after him, and he accused me of being a member of the Turei Karta because when someone in my shul didn't say a bracha, I explained to him, it's a halachic issue. So whether a person says Hallel, doesn't say Hallel, says Tachanun, does not say Tachanun, I think in some level we have to definitely commemorate and to show a karas atov to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we can live Baruch Hashem in our land, you know, in relative security. I'm not going to speak about that. That's going to be that is a halachic issue that everyone has to, you know, deal with their own psak halacha, or their rav or the rebbe or they feel. What I do want to speak about is another issue, which I started to think about in Parshas Kisisa. If you look at source number one, now I'll just mention that some of the Gemaras I'm going to speak about are definitely written in the Gemara, and they have to be explained. Some might seem on the surface very challenging, and we have to understand the Gemaras in relation to human nature. So in Parshas Kisisa, the main topic of Parshas Kisisa is the Egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu's discussion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu defending Am Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu showing concern to Am Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, we want to know that we find favor in your eyes, God. How do we know that we find favor in your eyes? When you walk with us, don't send an angel. We want you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you, and we and your nation, Moses, and your nation, Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, should be different than any other nation that is on the face of the earth. And the Meshech Chochma said something which I found to be so outstanding. I had to sit and think about it. The Meshech Chochma says, the first few words are okay. Bikesh lo tishra shchina l'umos el Yisrael. What did Moshe Rabbeinu want? He wanted the shchina should rest. Not on the umos. Only on Klal Yisrael. Shenemar v'niflinu ani v'amcha. Because amecha. That I and your nation, Am Yisrael, should be different. Perush. And then he said, in these next few words, I have to stop and think. Afilu im nisgairu. Even if they convert, a whole nation actually, Kamo Kuzarim, like the Kuzarim, who, if we understand the story, they converted, they became Jews, the Shekhinah should not rest on those people, only on the Jews, only on the born Jews. Lachain Amar Zachariah, and for this reason Zachariah says, Rani v'simchi v'asiyon v'shachanti v'sochech num Hashem v'nil v'goyim rabim al Hashem. All the nations will come to Hashem. V'hoyu li la'am. They'll be my nation, like the Jews. V'chol zos. However, even of all this, v'shachanti v'sochech, I will only rest upon the Jewish people. V'lo b'sharum v'sa'olam. Shalo tishre shechina rak al Yisrael. Because the Shekhinah should only rest upon the Jewish people. And when I saw this Meshech Chachma, it disturbed me. Because I assumed, and this is why I was brought up, that Gershon, that Gayer, a convert who converts to Judaism, Kekadon Shnola Dami, he becomes a full Jew. And here all of a sudden, the Meshech Chachma is saying that someone converts, so the Shekhinah should not rest, there's some difference. And the truth is, what the Meshech Chachma says on some level is based on the Gemara. However, I always understood the different shot in the Gemara, as I'll say, according to the Rambam. And source number 2, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shur Rabbi Yossi. Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Shlosh Dvarim Bikesh Moshe Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for 3 things before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what did he ask for? Says v'nos alone they were given to him. Number 1, Vikesh, he asked, he requested, Shlo Tishra Shechina al Yisrael. Shlo Tishra Shechina al Yisrael, v'nos alone. That the Shechina should rest upon the Jewish people, and was given to him, Shenemar, Halo Bilachta Chayimanu. Vikesh, he requests, Shlo Tishra Shechina al Umos Ha'olam, that the Shechina should not rest upon the nations of the world, v'nos alone. Shenemar, v'niflunu ani v'yamcha. Ubikesh lo dia darchav drachav shal kadosh baruch hu, and he wanted to know the ways of a kadosh baruch hu nas in lo, as Moshe Rabbeinu says, hodeinu nos rechecha, tell me Hashem your ways. The Gemara says that a kadosh baruch hu, Moshe Rabbeinu asked. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked, kadosh baruch hu, let the shechina rest only upon Am Yisrael. And I always assumed that would apply to any Jew, whether it's a born Jew, born religious, not born religious, became a Baal Tshuva, a Ger. And the truth is, the Rambam has to hold this way. We'll just look at the Rambam for a second, ask a question in the Rambam, and then answer, and then come back to the Meshech Chachma. So the Rambam says that in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam points out that Dover Barma first B'Torah. So the Rambam speaks in source number 3, Hilchos of the Torah, Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph. So he says that the Torah is eternal. The Torah can never change. You can't add, you can't detract from the Torah. This is one of the Ikrei Emunah, the basis of our faith, the Jewish faith that the Rambam points out. However, the Rambam says, and we have to mekayim every single mitzvah. Everything is eternal. He says, V'nemar
He says, "Halamadata." The second to last line. She'ein navi royal lecharishav meyata. A navi, a prophet, you cannot come and tell us a new halacha, a new mitzvah. Lefichach im yamo ish bein mina umos bein mi Yisrael. Whether a person stands up, whether he is from the nations of the world, a non-Jew, whether he is a Jew, v'yasa osu mofes, and he's able to form a certain miracle, a certain wonder, v'yomer shashem shalacho lahos mitzvah legrom mitzvah, says Hashem has sent him to add a mitzvah, like every mitzvah, o lefarish mitzvah and mitzvahs perish lo shemano yemoshe, or to explain the mission in a different way, we're not supposed to listen to him. So, because why? Because no Navi can change the Torah. But the Rambam speaks about a Navi of the Jews and a Navi of the non-Jews. Now, so the question is, however, the Rambam, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu requested the Shechina should only rest upon the Jewish people. The way it's explained is that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu requested, if you're going to have a prophet who's going to prophesy not just for the present but for the future, if you're going to have a prophet that's going to be a prophet that is going to prophesy b'kfias, not in a temporary manner, but who will always be known as a prophet, that remains the Jewish people. But to have a prophet who a prophet, you know, one off, twice off, he says, or a prophet who will prophesy something for that time, that a non-Jew can do. However, from the Rambam, it's clear that the Shekhinah can definitely rest. The Shekhinah can definitely rest upon the non-Jews also. However, so where does this Meshech Kacha come from? I see it's not in the Daf Makoros, but the Rambam, the Kuzari, this is the Shita of the Kuzari. The Kuzari points out that the Shekhinah can only rest upon the Jewish people, and you can only have a Navi who will prophesize from the Jewish people, like the Kuzarim. Not like the Kuzarim. So I'd like to take the Shin, even though the Ram does not hold this way, I'd like to try to understand the Meshech Chachma, to try to understand the Sheet of the Kuzari. Because even though the Rambam holds, yes, the Ager would seem to be like any other Jew, and therefore the Shekhinah can rest. But what the Kuzari says is based on a certain concept which is definitely relevant, and I think will definitely be relevant even according to the Rambam. So I'd like to understand, the point of this year is to really recognize, is to understand this Meshech Chachma based on the Kuzari, and from there come to an appreciation of Medinas Yisrael. So the first question we have to ask is, how can the Meshech Chachma say the Shekhinah will not rest upon a ger, when we know that according to Chazal, according to certain opinions of Chazal, there definitely was one Navi that was a ger. Who was that Navi that was a ger? Anyone? Avadja. So if you look number one at source number four, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shechinoso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only caused the Shechinah to rest. Al Gibor, Ashir, V'chacham, Ein Ana, V'kulam Imosha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the Shechinah to rest on a Gibor, an Ashir, a Chacham, an Anav, and everything is learned out from Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't say anything about being someone who was Jewish born. And the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says that Avadja, source number five, Daf Lamed Tesem Beis, Avadja Ger Edomi Hoya. Avadja was a Ger from Edom. Nation Edom. And it's fascinating, as we'll see it towards the end of the Shir, Avadja had no problem speaking and prophesizing again, he says, against Edom, as the Gemara points out, that he'll throw arrows against him. So how can the Meshech Chachma, how can the Gzari say that HaKadosh Baruch Rabbeinu requested, and it was granted to him, that the Shekhinah should not rest on the non-Jews, when Avadja himself, if he says, when Avadja himself was considered a Navi, and he was a Ger Edomi. Source number six is the Gemara Maseches Yevamos. Gemara Maseches Yevamos, on the surface, is also a very difficult Gemara. But Amar Mar, Ger Shabar Li Yisgayir, a convert wants to come, and he wants to convert. Omrim Lo, they say to him, Mare Isa Shabasa Li Yisgayir. Why do you want to convert? Why would you want to join the Jewish nation? And then we'll find out what the reason is. And then, umodim oso mixas mitzvos, kalos b'mixas mitzvos kamuros. You let him know what some of the easier mitzvos are, what some of the hard mitzvos are. And if he says, I don't like one mitzvah, you can't be mekabel him. I remember as a child, there was a person who wanted to convert. And I came to my father. My father didn't have necessarily a Besdin Kavua, but he chose to speak to my father. And my father handed him, if anyone remembers, they used to have this code of Jewish law that was translated, a red code of Jewish law. And my father handed him. My father was very impressed with him, actually. And he says, okay, I want you to do your homework. I want you to go home and read this book. And come back and tell me how you feel. So he came back a few weeks later. And he said to my father, I have no problem with anything written in this book. Except for one thing. What was the one thing? The halacha of stam yenam. He had a very difficult time dealing with the halacha that if a non-Jew touches wine that's not mevushel, so then you can't drink it. And I remember I was a little boy. I'm not sure if I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm not sure how old I was. But my father told me that afterwards, or I overheard a conversation. And he basically what happened was, he said to my father, if I have to keep this law, I can't convert. And my father said, you have to keep every law. Right? So that's kalus v'chamurus. You have to keep every single halacha. So the question is, how could we do that here? He wanted to keep every single law. One simple law he didn't want to keep. And if you turn him away, so he says, my taima. Gemara answers that question. Source number 6, Nivamistat Bemzayan Mabez, the Parish Nifrosh. If he decides not to go ahead and not to keep the law, he leaves. Okay, so he won't become a Jew. So isn't that a tragedy? So now the Gemara says something which seems to be very difficult. Dam Rav Chelbo. Kashim, the Jewish people, don't necessarily, if someone wants to convert, we take them, we receive them. But we're not a missionary organization. Because Kashim Gerim Li Yisrael Kisapachas. Because the Jewish people, the Gerim, the convert for the Jews, this is what the Gemara says, are like a Sapachas, a form of a leprosy. And therefore, unless someone is totally, totally, totally committed, we have a problem. So the question, what does that mean? This very, very difficult line, what does that mean? Rishonim deal with it. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Surabiyah, Perik Gimel Halacha Yud Ches, he says, Ubnei Zeh, Amru Chacham, the Rambam says, the Chacham said, "Kashen lehem gerim liYisrael." The gerim are very difficult for the Jewish people. Keneged saras, because he says, "Why? Sheruban chozrim b'shvil davar," because many of them, I guess, in the Rambam's days, will come out revert to the original nation, original belief, because of a simple thing, umatin es Yisrael, and therefore they can cause other Jews to make a mistake. And after they convert, it's very difficult to separate yourself from them because they are part of they are considered part of the Jewish people. Say Ulaman, you want to see an example? Ma'ir b'midbar, the Maisa Egel Kibur Sataiva. Look what happened in the desert from the Erev Rav, those Mitzrayim that came out and joined the Jewish people from the Egel and Kibur Sataiva and the Safsuf and all the things that happened. The core of the problems were the Erev Rav. And therefore, you want to make sure, and I will explain the Gemara. The Gemara is saying, according to the Rambam, be very careful that a person wants to convert, that they're totally committed. Because if they're not totally committed, they can be very destructive to Jewish people. Rashi says the same thing, that source number 8, that why we have to be so careful when someone wants to convert, because they might have some of their old habits and the Jews will learn from them, or they can rely upon them, the Isser V'Heter and Psak Halacha, and therefore be very, very careful before you recover someone as a ger to make sure that they are totally, totally committed. So that's source number 8. Source number, if you look at source number 10, Tosfos points out like this. Tosfos says, why are converts a problem? So Tosfos points out in Maseches Yevamos that Bem Zayin and Mabez, Lefi She'ein Bekiim V'Tukei Mitzvos, because they're not baki in mitzvos as careful as someone who might be born as a Jew. I'll just point out before I go on that my father pointed out to me, he had a student that married a convert, and he said to me. He said to me after a few years, such a wonderful girl. Right? And he said to me, you know, sometimes when a person who was born as a Jew marries a convert, who converted before they met, so whether it's the male or the female, they are the ones who lead the marriage and they are the ones who are inspiring and guiding. But we just want to make sure that someone who converts, you know, is doing so for the right reasons and is totally committed. He says now, the Tosfos mentions a sheet of Rashi. He says that what happens, that the reason why it's better not to take a convert who's not totally committed is because Jewish people are responsible for each other. So why would I want someone to join the Jewish nation who's not totally committed? So Tosfos points out, and this is fascinating, Tosfos points out in the second line in the Seches Yevamos, source number 10, that the Jewish people did not have arevos, they weren't responsible for the gerim. Why? Because the Gemara Maseches Sota says, if you look at source number 9, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda ish kvarako, Amr Mishum Rav Shimon, Maseches Saflam Zayin Mabez, Ein lecha mitzvah shekzuv v'torah, every mitzvah in the Torah had 48 brisos, covenants written, for 603,550 times. Why? For every Jew. And Tosfos assumes that that was talking about not the Erev Rav. So therefore we see, on some level, there's a certain, according to Tosfos, the responsibility that we have towards other Jews only applies to those who are not converts. Now I'm going to explain why that is, and I want to explain also that it doesn't necessarily apply to every convert. But this is what we have to try to understand, because I was always raised that once a person converts, they're a full Jew. So Tosfos implies that this Gemara, that this halacha of arevos, of responsibility towards other Jews, does not apply to converts. I want to try to explain what that means. A few more questions, and we'll try to put it together. So we know that Chodesh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, Parshas Lech Lecha, you have to leave Eretz Charan, leave your land, your birthplace, and go to Eretz Yisrael. And as soon as he goes to Eretz Yisrael, what happens? The first thing, he makes the Mizbeach, source number 12, Ayira Ba'aretz. And except for the Ramban, most Rishonim point out that Avram Avinu did not make a mistake. He was supposed to go to Eretz Mitzrayim. And one is, as Rashi points out, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring him to Eretz Mitzrayim? How come? To Eretz Canaan first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just had him go, cause him to go to Eretz Mitzrayim right away. Or why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring Avram Avinu to Eretz Yisrael right before in Eretz Mitzrayim? So Rashi points out in source number 13, beginning Parshas Lech Lecha, to test Avram, to see if he would maharer, he would question the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told me to leave my birthplace to go to Eretz Canaan, and right away I have to leave? But maybe we can suggest another idea of why it was important for Avram Avinu to go to Eretz Yisrael before on Eretz Mitzrayim. One last question, source number 14. Source number 14, the very beginning of the Parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Aleph, says, Vayom Hashem al Avram, Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha, leave, Me'artzucha, Moladucha, I want you to leave the land where you came from, your land, your birthplace, to the land that I will show you. And many Mephorshim ask, why Lech Lecha? Why not say Lech? Why Lech Lecha? Rashi says what he says. The Baal HaTurim points out in source number 15, Dover Acher Ramazlo, Beis HaGolus. When he says Lech Lecha, he's being Meramez, he's inting to Avram Avinu, there'll be two exiles. One exile leaving the land of Israel to go to Eretz Babel, and one exile leaving the land of Israel to go to Rome, to go all over the world actually. Sheshnei Pamim, because twice, Yelchu Yisrael v'gol, the Jews will go into Golus from the time they came as a nation to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. And this Baal HaTurim is very difficult. Why? Because Avraham Avinu is coming to Eretz Yisrael, and while he's coming, Lech Lecha, let's be merames in those same words, that something's going to happen, we're just the opposite. Lech Lecha, you should come, and we're hinting that you're going to leave. We have to try to understand this Baal HaTurim. So just to review the questions, then we'll try to answer. Question number one, and this is the main question of this year, is to try to understand the Meshech Chachma, the Kuzari. Where does this come from? That if a person converts, the Moshe Rabbeinu requested the Shekhinah should not rest upon him. Have we thought that a ger is like a regular Jew? So how can we say a thing like that? Question number two, we do see that there was someone who converted and the Shekhinah rested upon him. And who was that? That was Avadia. He was a Ger Edomi. Question number three, I'd like to offer a different shot. And what does it mean that sometimes, the ger is not totally committed. A ger could be like a sapachas, which doesn't seem that complimentary. Question number four, to try to understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham Avinu to go to Eretz Yisrael before he came to Eretz Mitzrayim. And question number five, the idea of pointing out to Avraham that the Jews, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, the Jews would have to leave Eretz Yisrael twice. So now, I'm going to speculate a little bit, because no one really knows, but from the Lashon of the Kuzari, I think that it's clear that maybe this was happening. I would just, before I begin, go ahead and say like this, that my parents and my parents' generation were very appreciative of the United States of America. As a matter of fact, I think my father, almost any time he mentioned the United States in his drasha, in his shir, he would always be mocked him, introduce his words with the blessed United States of America. And my parents, my mother, used to hang a flag on July 4th. I remember one year, I hang a flag in Chodesh Iyar. And I remember one year, I pointed out to my mother, just towards the end of her life, and I said, I just put the flag out, Israeli flag. And she said to me, I'm so jealous of you that you can hang an Israeli flag and I only can hang an American flag. And what does that mean? I think that, you know, as we grow up in a certain country, you know, and the country is good to us, we sort of develop patriotic feelings to the country, which maybe is not such a bad thing. Not a bad thing. Look, I spent 6 years in Canada. I have to tell you, I was not interested at all in anything that was going on in Canada, and always, you know, always in what was happening in the United States and in America. This is where, you know, this is where that I grew up in the United States. Now, so how did the Kuzarim feel about Eretz Yisrael? How did they feel about Eretz Yisrael? So if you look at source number 16, and I'm not going to go through the whole discussion. But, you know, after the whole discussion and the Kuzari decided to convert, and as we know, according to legend, so many followed after him. So the Chaver, the rabbi who was teaching him and inspiring, decided, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Source number 16. The Achar Kain, of the beginning, Me'anyan HaChaver, She'iskim Letzeis Me'eretz Kuzari, the very end of the Sefer Kuzari, he wanted to go from Eretz Kuzar to Yerushalayim. And the fast name, Yichar LeMelech Kuzar Fridaso. And the Melech Kuzar was very upset about the fact that he should go. The Dibor Emos, they spoke to him in this. But Yomerlo, Ma Tevakesh Hayom BeYerushalayim Eretz Kanaan. What do you want today in Yerushalayim and in Eretz Kanaan? And by the way, there are Jews today, religious today, who feel the same way. I just want you to know. Okay, Vashchina Lederes Mehem. And the Shechina is held back there. Vakrov Elokim Usegas B'chol Machom Lev Tahar. You can reach God anywhere. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, unfortunately, people telling me, yeah, you can observe Torah anywhere, which is true. When I try to say it, it's nothing like Eretz Yisrael. But he says, this idea, this is what the Kuzari said to the rabbi. And the rabbi started talking about what Eretz Yisrael is like. And you know, how you want to become close to the Shekhinah. And the Kuzari points out to him, says to him, listen, he says, that could be true, but as long as you desire, Rachmana Libaboy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants your intention. So if you want to desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's enough. So you look at Chav Zayin, it's the very end of the Kuzari. I'm not going to read this inside, but the rabbi, the Chavar, says to the Melech Kuzarim, says, listen, he says, you're right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Libaboy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our heart, and our intention are very important. But when is intention important? Attention is always important. Because action without intention is missing something. But when is intention unique and vital? That's when you can't do the action. But when you can do the action and you don't do the action and you intend to, there's a lot missing. And that's what the Khazaris, the Chavar said to the Khazari. He said, listen, he says, it's very nice what you're saying, that intention is very important. But he says it's good. But if you can do the action, you don't, then there's definitely something missing. And therefore, I feel that with all the danger, with the fact that you never know who's going to be ruling the country, Sakanas Hadrachim, I feel that I can go to Eretz Yisrael, and not only that, he says, that Yerushalayim will be built when the Jewish people desire Eretz Yisrael. And he quoted the Pasuk, Atatokum to Rachin Sion, get up, Yimrachim and Sion, Keis Lachana, Ki Vamoe, the time has come for the Gula redemption, Ki Ratzu Avedecha Zavanea, Vasavar Yechoneinu, because the Jews want Eretz Yisrael. Jerusalem will be built when the Jews, he says, when the Jewish people desire it so much, and that should be shown through actions if possible. So if you look at the very end, the Khuzari says, Amar Khuzari, Im Hadavar Kain, if this is true the way you feel, Manacha Asham, that if I stop you, it's a sin, Vazorcha Mitzvah, and helping is a mitzvah. Halakim Yazorcha Al Kavanasecha, the Yigzer Loch Hatov Kibash Kostish Tafsu Secha, and Akharish Baruch should be Gozer. The Yela Ozer Besomech, and you should have a lot of schar. He says, and there's no God besides you, and Akharish Baruch should be with you. And this was the final discussion. And I was thinking about it, that probably, no one knows, but the Khuzarim became Jewish, but I would call them Jewish Khuzarim. They were Jews. They were connected to their country, and there were many kings. Khuzarim, there was a number of generations. There were Jews that, according to the legend, they were Khuzarim. In other words, their identity was to be a Jew in the land of the Khuzarim. In order for the Shekhinah to rest upon somebody, we need the identity of our homeland. And Jews live out of then even a homeland are really missing something. If you look at Source 23, I'm sorry for skipping around, the Khuzari says like this, and this is based in the Gemara. Amar Achaver, Ko Misha Nisnabe, Lo Nisnabe Kimba Obavura. Anyone who prophesied can only prophesize in Eretz Yisrael or for Eretz Yisrael. Hine Nisnabe Avavagesh Yavarba, Avavina was Nisnabe to go there. Yecheskel v'Daniel ba'avura, and Yecheskel v'Daniel, Yecheskel in Eretz Babel was Nisnabe for Eretz Yisrael. It was Eretz Babel for Eretz Yisrael. Ukfar Nisnabe's Rishon v'Robo Ashchina, and he was there in the Bayish Rishon. He saw the Shechina, and therefore he had the ability to go and be Misnabe for Eretz Yisrael. But to have the Shechina rest for somebody in Chutz Loretz, outside Israel, for outside the land of Israel, it doesn't happen. That's probably true, but that was probably done, I guess. That's a good kasha why it was done, but that was maybe in a certain sense, it's a good kasha. What happened with Yonah? I would say that since the first Nevuah happened in Eretz Yisrael for him. The first Nevuah happened in Eretz Yisrael. So it's probably condition of that Nevuah. And I think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu... What? No, right, yeah, okay. But I think the idea... So I would say that since he had the Nevuah first there, and that Nevuah was done for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, in the end, the Jews should learn from them. That's what I have to say. Right. So ultimately, the portion pointed out, it was for the Jewish people and in Eretz Yisrael. That's what I would say. That's Akasha. Okay, but Khuzari says, but you have to be in Eretz Yisrael because we can keep all the Torah mitzvos. But to have the Shekhinah dwell amongst the Jewish people, if you don't have the identity of the Jewish homeland, Eretz Yisrael, there's definitely something missing. And therefore, the Khuzari may be misstep. And that's why it's fascinating that the Meshech Chachma, if you go back, and this is the Khuzari sheet of the source number one, when he says that the Shekhinah should not rest upon the Jewish people, he points out, Afilu im nisgairu, and he adds the words Kamoa Kuzarim. Person converts, okay? That may be, but someone converts like the Kuzarim who are still known as the Kuzarim. They're missing their identity with the Jewish people, with the Jewish homeland. Then there's definitely something missing. I was learning with one of my children this week, and talking about Gerim, and we were learning the Gemara Maseches Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet about Lag BaOmer. He wanted to speak about Lag BaOmer, and I was learning Rav Kook Sefer, and we know the story of Lag BaOmer, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was together with a few of his colleagues. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said something not so nice about the Romans. All right? He said, whatever they do is for themselves. And Saul went ahead and repeated to somebody else. And this person repeated to somebody else. Somehow, the Romans found out about it. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in danger of being killed, so he ran away. Who was the person that repeated the conversation? Who was the person? Gemara tells us his name was Yehuda ben Gerim. Yehuda who came from Gerim. And Rav Kook points out that a Jew who has loyalties to his nation, who is so careful, would be very careful never to repeat this conversation, because you never know what the tozaot, what the outcomes will be. We'll never know what the outcome will be. He says, but Yehuda ben Gerim didn't realize. Because again, you know, maybe he came from the Romans, and maybe he was a little bit insulted. And he didn't go to the Roman government. He was fascinated. He loved the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. He loved the Torah. But he still felt some of the identity to the Romans. And the bottom line is, there was Rabbi Yehuda Rosh HaMedavrim, who spoke highly of the Jewish people, of the Romans, I'm sorry. And there was Rabbi Yossi, who was quiet. So he's talking about some people. He said, you know, I was listening to this conversation, and Rabbi Yehuda Rosh HaMedavrim, that was his name, he spoke highly of the Romans, and I was blown away how Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reacted to it. But a person who only loyalty is to the Jewish people, does not feel connected to the nation, would never repeat it that, because you never know, you know, who else is going, Chavri Chavri Islay, as Gemara says, who else is going to hear that? And that's when the Kuzari and the Meshech Chochma speak about that the Shekhinah should not rest upon another nation. They're talking about a nation that might have taken upon themselves all Taryag Mitzvos, but somehow or another, they still feel a connection. They feel a connection to their previous nation on some level. You know, my mother told me that one of her proudest moments, you know, running away, she actually, my grandfather took my mother's family to Palestine before the war. There's actually a story how that happened, because he was in America and he wanted to bring his family over. And my grandmother went to the town Rav, Rav of Lefer Ritva, and she said, he wants to bring the family to America, ask for a get, because in America, children will intermarry, which definitely happened a lot at that point in the century. And he went to, so my grandfather came home to Ritva, town of Lithuania. And when he came home, he saw there was something wrong. He could tell. He could already tell there was too much anti-Semitism. So he couldn't go. He couldn't go to America. So he went to Palestine. They spent a few years in Palestine. He couldn't make it. And at that point, my mother, my aunt, the two youngest in the family, were already in their mid-teenage years, and they felt that they would be okay, and they moved to America. My mother told me that when she became an American citizen, she was very proud. Then she said, I don't know if they still do the same thing, but in those days, to become an American citizen, you had to basically, I guess, affirm that if there was a war between your birth country and America, you would support and you would fight for America. And she said to me, I had no problem affirming that I would fight for America against Lithuania. But I don't know what I would have done if I had been born in Palestine. How can you do that? He says, for Shekhinah to rest, a person has to identify with the Jewish people as a whole, not just the Torah. over the national homeland. We asked the question about Avadja. So it's fascinating. Avadja was a Ger Adomi. I didn't write, bring down his whole Nevuah. But if you go ahead and you look at source number 17, he says, Edom came from Esav. Famous Pasuk. So he says, the Jewish people will be a fire, a flame. In the house of Esav, Edom will be straw. Nothing will remain. Avadja had no problem cutting himself off totally from his previous nation. Had no problem identifying the Jewish people, and had no problem prophesizing. And again, maybe even celebrating the destruction of this previous nation who were so wicked, who only wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And that is why the Shekhinah could rest on Avadja, because Avadja on a certain level was different than maybe another ger. So when we speak about the Shekhinah resting on a ger, we're talking about the Shekhinah not resting upon a ger who can't totally identify with the Jewish people. But some of the converts that I've met can identify more than even some Jews. There's some converts you meet and they only can live in the land of Israel. So that's the kind of convert. That the convert that can't identify with the Jews on a complete level and the Jewish homeland, that's where the Shekhinah can't rest. And that might take a generation or two until, in a certain sense, you know, they are divested of the loyalty. But sometimes you have converts that are totally committed to Jewish people. Every characteristic of being a Jew is really within them. Now, so based on that, I was thinking that maybe that's another idea of Koshim Gerim LeYisrael Kesapachas. So the Maral, source number 11, says, why is a convert compared to a Sapachas, type of leprosy? See, he says, a sarpachas is something tofel. Some number 11. It's the Kedushi Agadus L'maral, Yevamas, Tav Mem Zayin on the base. Something tofel. There's something that's secondary. It's not so important. But when you see sarpachas, it's something not important, but all of a sudden it changes. There's really, when you see someone has a little, you know, something on his skin, you can say who his personality is, but it changes who he is. It's mevatel. It changes his whole tzura, how he looks. But he says, and therefore he says, sometimes when you have a ger, and a ger brings with him certain ideas, he says, all of a sudden, that could change how the Jewish people look in that area. So therefore, when we talk about it's very important when we speak about the ger tzedek that has the Shekhinah, it has to be somebody that doesn't change the tzura, that understands what it means to be a Jew, and what it means to identify with the Jewish people in the Jewish homeland. Why is it that that's another idea? But a ger who identifies totally, lock, stock, and barrel, the Jewish people, 100%, the idea of the Jewish home, the idea of the Torah, the idea of the Jewish future, that is something which is very special. You know, a certain friend of mine was a Baal Tshuva, and I once asked him, I said to him, why did you become from? He said to me, simple as that, he says, I saw how children turn out, and I felt that my children would turn out better if I'm religious. Okay, Baruch Hashem, he's grown over the years. But in other words, to have a Shekhinah rest, you have to identify with the Jewish people, every vision that we have. And the land of Israel is definitely part of that vision. And that's why I think Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham Avinu to come to Eretz Yisrael first, and then go to Eretz Mitzrayim. Because before Avraham went to Eretz Mitzrayim, he had to identify with the Jewish homeland, with Eretz Yisrael. And he could only do that if he was there first. And that's maybe the idea in the Baal HaTurim. We asked the question about the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim points out, he says, that it says Lechacha, to hint that when the Jewish people go ahead and they will, just like it says Lechacha, Avraham came to Eretz Yisrael, the double expression, the Jews will leave Eretz Yisrael twice. What's the connection? Avram's coming to Eretz Yisrael, the Jews are leaving to Eretz Yisrael. when Jewish people leave Eretz Yisrael, they are still going to have the same feelings Avram going to have. When they leave Eretz Yisrael, they're going to feel connected. They're going to still want to come back. The Jewish people, from the time they leave, so already the Geula has begun. And I always say that everyone asks, Medinas Yisrael is Reishis Tmichas Geulaseinu. I was raised to believe, yes, it's a major step towards the Geula, but the Geula for the Jewish people started as they were leaving Eretz Yisrael, because right then, the Jewish people started thinking, when are we going to come back? Lech Lecha, just like you, Avraham Avinu, are coming to Eretz Yisrael, you're identifying. When the Jews leave twice, they will also feel an identity with Eretz Yisrael. And that's something which is, I think, which is very important. And this identity that we have, connecting to Eretz Yisrael, that even a Jew in Golis can have. Of course, what the Kuzari says is very important, that maybe your intention is not enough, you have to translate to action. But this Gemara, my father did mention 30 years ago. It's a Gemara Meseches Ksuvus, source number 17, the second part of number 17, Daf Ayin Hamed Aleph, and he mentioned source number 20 also. He did not quote this Sefer, but the story he mentioned. Gemara says, the Pasuk says, if source number 19, Tilim Perek Pezayim Pasuk Dalid, Askiru Rahav, Ubavel, Yodeh, Hine, Peleshes, Vitzor, and Kush, Zayulat Sham, talks about all these countries. These people are born there. Uletzion Yeamar, Ishvi Ishulad Ba, Vihi Choneneho, El Yom. And Letzino will say, Tzion, Zion, Eretz Israel, to every person that's born there. And he will be established upon there. So he says, so Gemar Mesechus Ksuvus, and Daf Ayin Hamed Aleph, the second half of source number 17, asks the question, what does it mean, Ish Ish? Why Ish Ish? And the Gemara says, Echad Hanolad Ba, Echad Mitzav Larosa. Whether or not, if you're born there, or you desire to see it, you're the same. In other words, in terms of having that identity, in terms of being able to have the Shekhinah rest upon you, even if you've never seen Eretz Yisrael, as so many Jews never saw Eretz Yisrael, but the desire to be there, that's equal to actually being born there. And I remember 30 years ago, my father mentioned this story, which is mentioned in the Chashukei Chemed, that happened to Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was very machted, he was very careful to always tell the truth and always give a psak to tell the truth. And he would never change, even one iota, for any reason. And he says that a person wanted to make aliyah. And obviously, it must have been when the Turks ruled Israel. I think maybe it was the British mandate, I'm not sure. But a person wanted to make aliyah. And they didn't have a law of return for Jews. So he said, if anyone can say that they were born in Yerushalayim, they'll be allowed into the land of Israel. And here was a person who was born in Poland, Lithuania, Hungary. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said, Mutter, and it's not a lie. Why? And he quoted this Gemara. Because whether you're born there or you desire to see it, you are the same. And he said that, and because of this reason, he says, and someone who really desires to see it, it's like he's born there. So in terms of a person who desires Eretz Yisrael, whatever reason can't come, but really desires, and knows that's where he belongs, and knows that this is their identity, he is like the person that can be born there. I'm not saying he's going to have a nevuah, but the Shekhinah on some level rests on this person. So if you want to ask me, Yivnei Seva Tokum, 70 years of Eretz Yisrael. So why should we stand up for Eretz Yisrael? There are many reasons. But one reason is because now it's so much easier to have this national identity. Now it's so much easier to think about Israel is my country. Certainly for us that are living here, and even for those people that don't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's certainly easier to have this national identity. Now, I would just, in conclusion, eventually the Gemara Meseches Bav Metzia Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan referred to himself as one of the last Isha for the Yerushalayim. One of the last beautiful people, it's in the Pei, it's Pei Gimel, Pei Zion, I forgot. The last beautiful people of Yerushalayim. And I heard the year that Rav Moshe Feinstein was Nifter, not sure, but before he was Nifter, after he was Nifter, I went with my father to, it was a symposium on Rav Kook. My father spoke there, and Rav Nissim Alpert, Zichron Levracha, also spoke. It's right before he passed away. And he went over basically the tshuva of Alpert about Heter Mechira, of Rav Kook and Heter Mechira. And at the end he said, like this, he said, you know, Rav Alpert was a Rav in Agudas Yisrael for Rockaway. Now you have to understand, for some reason, I'm not sure if the situation is still the same, Agudas Yisrael does not necessarily identify with the vision of the Medinas Yisrael. Israel is our homeland, people should make Aliyah. And he said that he was actually criticized, if I remember correctly, that how can you speak at a symposium for Rav Kook? Rav Kook, by the way, was very religious, by the way. And I would definitely, besides the fact that he definitely believed in building a national homeland, I would definitely characterize him as being pretty Haredi. Okay, but this is what he said. And he said, put all the politics aside. He quoted this Gemara of Yochanan, and he said, like, why would Rav Yochanan say that he is one of the last Ishufer of Yerushalayim? The last beautiful people of Yerushalayim. Rav Yochanan Gemara tells us his eyebrows were so long he had to hold it up in order to see sometimes. That's beautiful? So he says, you know, there is something called, which we don't see that often, the hunchback Jew. That's the Jew as always Jew is depicted. No, bent down. This is why. Because if we don't have a homeland, nothing to be confident about, nothing to be proud about, that's the way we walk. Rabbi Yochanan was from the generation where maybe the Jews did not have autonomy in Eretz Israel. But the Jewish people, that was really the very end when there was a yeshuv, when there was a community of Jews in Eretz Israel. Yeah, there were scattered Jews living in Eretz Israel. Rabbi Yochanan symbolized the end for hundreds of years when there was an established community, when people would say, I'm going to Eretz Israel. It was the very end of that tikkun for that period. And therefore, Yochanan says, when he says he was the remnant, he said he saw that now the Jew would not be as beautiful because now the Jew would have nothing to be proud of. He wouldn't have a homeland. Okay, he would have the Torah, but he's missing that national identity. He's missing that power, the idea that would cause the Shekhinah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu to rest upon him. And he represented the end of that period. He says, Rav Alpert said that whatever you want to say about Eretz Yisrael, Medinas Yisrael, at least now a Jew can walk with his back straight. Because now we have a national identity, and that identity of the land, not just the Torah itself. And the beginning is, why should we stand for Eretz Yisrael? We should stand for Eretz Yisrael because of all the miracles that happen. We stand for Eretz Yisrael because now, Baruch Hashem, we can live in relative security. I have to be honest with you. I actually feel safer now living in Eretz Yisrael than I would feel living in the United States of America, because every time you turn the news on, I have to tell you that I was going to, when I went to look at the news after Shabbos this week, 2 day Yom Tov, wondering what happened in the world, okay, over 2 day Yom Tov when you can't see anything. He says, but also because now it's so much easier. Now we can wave a flag. Now we can walk proud. Okay, and I and many of us can be proud that, you know, we might have had children that served in the army, the Israeli army, and defended Klal Yisrael. National identity is that caused the Shekhinah to dwell. So now that we have Medinas Yisrael, all the challenges, and yes, we have to fix certain things, which my father spoke about 30 years ago. I'm going to speak of the fact that we have to stand up for Medinas Yisrael, to show that now it's so much easier to have a national identity, that we can be proud of the state and we can identify with the state, because this is our national homeland, and make it easier. And when we can identify with the Torah and the state of Israel, because Israel is an important cause of the Torah, all right? And the state of Israel enables us to live in Eretz Israel and enables so many Jews to make Aliyah. That together will cause the Shekhinah to come back, Mitzvah Hashem, closer to totality, and we should be zochet to the gula. This is a very important step Because now it's much easier to identify. And now so many of us can hang our Israeli flag and say, this is our national homeland.